following program deals with military and veteran issues. All comments and opinions expressed on this show are those who made them. They do not reflect the opinions of the Church of Satan or Radio Free Satan. So on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the official Infernal Legion podcast for the month of February. This is the hashtag Sinister Scuttlebutt episode. And before we jump into the news and events surrounding the military, I first want to take a moment to apologize for being gone for the last 2 months. Schedules were an absolute nightmare, and we were all busy. Plus, there was a lot of stuff happening in the country, as I'm sure you're all aware. And before we could really talk about it, we needed to let the dust settle, because we're not just the media. I am your host and the commander of the Infernal Legion, Warlock Jeff Bowling, and with me as always is my wonderfully furry co-host, the VSO of the Infernal Legion, Warlock Dwayne Burns. How the hell are you, Dwayne?
I am fucking spectacular.
Convincing as always.
Yeah, I am. I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm alive. Everything's going good. You know?
And the health situation with your family, everything is sorting out with that?
Yeah. Savannah was supposed to have an endoscopy on Friday. It got canceled for goofy reasons, but she was supposed to have that Friday. She's doing really good, I think.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
And, of course, with us in his own little dark corner of Florida is our wonderful producer, the communications officer for the Infernal Legion, Warlock Jeff Ivins. Jeff, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. I'm above the ground.
Well, if you had been a submariner, that wouldn't be an issue.
Well, I'd be subsurface. But, yeah. I wouldn't be that. I'm not that dumb.
I don't know. The idea of not seeing sunlight for 10 months kind of sounds fun.
No. In my case, it's like going on a boat whose purpose is to sink. It's an unnatural act.
Right. It seems counterintuitive.
Exactly.
All right, gents, what do you say? Shall we start talking about the big topic at hand that surrounds the military, and that is the fact that we have a brand... Well, not brand, but a spanking new commander in chief, one Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.
You have a tear thing there, Ivan?
Huh?
You know, you have a background cheering thing you can play or something?
No. I'm gonna do that. gonna keep it neutral.
And was handed the football and became the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Armed Forces on January 20th. And the thing about this situation is it's easy to devolve into politics, and we have tried since our inception not to do that. But everyone knows that the military is intrinsically linked to politics in some way, shape, or form. Our entire job, and now post-military, our entire lives are somehow dominated by politics because of the oaths that we took. So, I debated not talking about any of this at all, but I decided, you know what, fuck it. We should talk about it. We do have a new commander-in-chief, and not only is he the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, but he's also the person directly responsible for the Department of Veterans Affairs. So, one way, shape, or form, Joe Biden is going to influence our lives and impact our lives. So, let's get into him. We all know that he has almost 50 years of experience in politics. Probably most well known as the former vice president under President Barack Obama. And as far as the outlook on the military, I don't have super high hopes, but at the same time, those are kind of balanced with the fact that two of his children served in the military, and one of them died as the result of issues that happened in Iraq. So I'm as terrible as that is, I'm kind of hoping that that might balance out some of his worst tendencies when it comes to foreign policy. What do you guys think?
I'm thinking about the same thing. It might influence his decision making and make him think before he acts. I mean, like you said, he was vice president. That's 8 years. He's got 40 other years as a senator where he had good points and he had bad points. And, you know, some of those points were to tell us to go to Iraq and things of that nature.
That's one point where I will jump in and give him absolute props, unlike a lot of politicians. And that's an old... it's an old stereotype going all the way back to World War I, but it's not one that's undeserved. Unlike most politicians, he actually did let his children go to war, and yep. And he didn't keep them out of the shit, as it were. And yep. I think that deserves at least a modicum of respect.
I agree.
Yep. Yep.
Jeff Ivins with the ever-present affirmations there.
Well, to me, it's like, you know, he would, the first weekend he was in office, he went to Walter Reed and visited the troops there. That kind of gives me a little bit, I got to give him props for that.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, plus, you know, he's a Gold Star family. I can't remember if he's a Gold Star family.
Yeah, he's a Gold Star member because of his son passed away. And his son did have foreign service.
Well, Gold Star is when your kids die overseas, if I remember right.
That's technically true, but I think in this case we'll give it to him because his son died from as the result of what happened overseas.
Yeah. So.
I'd give it to him.
Yeah.
I just don't want to know, he's not, and stuff like that. There's blue and gold star families and, you know, stuff like that. So.
I gotcha.
But like I said, you know, he went to the cemetery, Arlington National Cemetery. He visited the wounded warriors at Walter Reed. You know, so far he's doing what he needs to be doing. Showing respect to the troops.
We live in a wonderful era of crazy conspiracy theories and federal insurrections and whatnot. I did see shortly, like not even a day after he was inaugurated, I did see conspiracy theories floating around about how the military had not done the drill and ceremony proper for an incoming president. And the three major points that people gave for that was the handoff of the football, the gun salute, the artillery gun salute from the Army, and then the National Guard on the streets and them having their backs turned to the president. And quite honestly, what surprises me is that anyone in the military doesn't see those things. The National Guard issue and the football... easily explainable by the fact that the National Guard was there to provide security. They weren't there to do honors to the president.
Yeah.
So they have their backs turned because they're going to catch the bullet for him. Take it in the back. And the handoff of the football, our former president, Trump, wasn't at the inauguration. So there wasn't the ability to do the pomp and circumstance of handing off the football because up until a minute prior, he had possession of the football.
Well, I did see that while former President Trump was flying to Mar-a-Lago, he had a football and so did President Biden.
There's about seven or eight footballs.
Right, but I mean, the launch code switched the second.
But there is a ceremony that takes place when they hand the football from one military aide to another. Obviously, they couldn't do that ceremony if one military aide was in Florida and the other was in Washington, D.C. Right. So those are stupid conspiracy theories. And then the final one, which as a former field artilleryman, I have to take this one right in the chest. We fuck up our jobs sometimes. We're not great with our timing always. And to be quite frank, charges get mixed up, and things happen, misfires happen. So one gun was a little late. The enemy still got destroyed, right?
Yeah. Well, we're all human. We're all up to error. Something ain't gonna work.
But yeah, there's so much of that crap that's flying around right now. I would be remiss if we're going to talk about, you know, a new commander-in-chief coming in to not discuss some of the crazy conspiracy theories that pertain to the military going around. And quite frankly, my firmly tongue-in-cheek advice to anyone who thinks the military isn't going to support the commander-in-chief, regardless of who it is or whether or not they voted for him, is try it. See what happens. All right, but the best way we can gauge President Biden's impact on the military and on veterans is going to be immediately, the best way we can gauge that is going to be who he nominates to be in positions of power over those individual areas. So let's jump in with the brand new United States Secretary of Defense, a man who I actually know somewhat. And I think that this was an excellent pick. So, Lloyd James Austin III is a retired general from the United States Army. His last position in the Army was the commander of United States Central Command, which, for those of you not familiar with the way the commands are stood up, Central Command is the command that's responsible for the Iraq and Afghanistan war theaters, Syria, Yemen, all the places that we were engaged in with the global war on terrorism. Prior to that, he held commands all around the military, including being the division commander of the 10th Mountain Division when I deployed for the very first time. I am happy and proud to have a coin that was presented to me by General Austin. And from what I know of his leadership in the 10th Mountain, I think he'll make a fantastic Secretary of Defense. Certainly better than someone who wasn't a veteran, looking at the last guy there.
General Austin definitely will not take any shit, and he will roll over anybody who tries to give it to him.
Right. The one thing that gives me pause with him, but I also understand it because, you know, it's once you reach a certain level in the military, you become more of a politician and a businessman than an actual soldier. Is that he sat, before he became the secretary, on the boards of Raytheon Technologies, Nucor, and Tenet Healthcare, all of whom are government and military contractors. I'm sure, like everyone that's listening to us, your eye gets a little twitchy when you start seeing the military industrial complex come to a rise. But like I said, I've known this man personally. I've served under him. I've been proud to serve under him. And to this day, I'd still follow him into hell if he asked. Do you guys have any opinions on General Austin, or now Secretary?
Does that concern you, Lou, that it'd be another Halliburton situation like with Cheney?
See, it would, but the difference between him and Cheney is that that was the extent of Cheney's experience.
Right.
Austin served for, I want to say, 33 years altogether in the U.S. Army. 33 years altogether in the United States Army. So I think that will temper it a little bit.
Right,
you know, it's different than having a CEO that has no military experience come in and start telling soldiers what to do.
Well, I didn't have much worry about it myself. I was just seeing what the thoughts were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my eye starts twitching whenever I see the connections between the military industrial complex. I don't like those connections any more than I like lobbyists in Congress or, you know, anything of that nature. But I think he'll do a really good job. If you look back at his career, he has nothing. I mean, I can't find a single person. I know nobody that I served with And I can't find other people, even like in all the veteran message boards and chat rooms and whatever, that are critical of the man in any negative way. I mean, you're always going to have disgruntled vets. I mean, that's part of who we are. But yeah, everyone seems very happy with this decision, and I think what better type of person to put in charge of the secretary, you know, in the Department of Defense than someone that everyone who served under him or tangentially around him is happy with. Oh, I should note as well, it being February and all, that's a joke for those of you listening. He is the first African-American Secretary of Defense, so congratulations to him for that honor.
We have our first African-American Vice President and female Vice President.
Yep. Yep.
That is true. That is true. So General Austin has a Bachelor of Science degree from the United States Military Academy at West Point, a master's degree from Auburn University, and an MBA from Webster University. A very educated man. He's also a very well-spoken man. I don't know if anyone has had a chance to listen to the couple of press briefings he's given since he took that job, but I've stood in many a formation in the freezing cold listening to him talk, and he is a very well-spoken man, but he has a very hard edge too. Like, he does not take any he won't let you get away with anything. Which I believe Dwayne, you even pointed out that he wouldn't let anybody get away with anything. You want to tell the Mitch McConnell story?
If any of you would like, you can go to our Infernal Legion Facebook page, and you can check it out. I posted a GIF on there. Our new Secretary of Defense, it starts out him hugging another African-American gentleman who's part of Congress. And he walks down the line, and he's shaking everybody's hand, He gets through about eight guys, and he gets to Mitch McConnell, and he just walks right past them. And you just see Mitch's face go, "What the fuck?"
Did he, Mitch?
Exactly.
I do think I was a big fan of the first of two goddamn many Secretary of Defenses we had with President Trump, and that was Mad Dog Mattis.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of his as well. And I think that Austin is perhaps not as well known for those same reasons, but he is a comparable human being to Mad Dog Mattis. And I think he will do a very good job of looking out for the troops and but still playing the political game as well as he needs to. So, like I said, I'm very happy.
Here's a bit for you, Lou. Mad Dog Mattis hated being called Mad Dog. You ain't going to call him Mad Dog to his face.
Right. Well, I would.
He hated
But I wasn't a Marine.
Especially Marine Corps.
Right. Yeah, that's the unfortunate part of life in the military that of the three of us know all too well is you don't get to pick your nickname.
No. No.
But you know what?
If you didn't want to call Mad Dog,
his actual call sign, Chaos Actual, was a much better nickname.
Yeah. Who's here? Here comes Mad Dog.
Yeah, even after my basic training platoon, our mascot was the Mad Dogs.
We were renegades. We had renegades, bushwhackers, Mad Dogs. Yeah, we were renegades.
All right, so let's move on. I think we're all in agreement that General Austin looks promising as the new Secretary of Defense.
Absolutely.
He does a good job. He'll probably be in that position for a long time. If again, with President Biden, the only thing we really have to go on is his and is how he'll do in this job was his time with Barack Obama, President Obama. And they didn't like to swap out their secretaries very often. So I think General Austin will probably be in there for a good long time, unless he gets a whiff of something he can't stand. much like Chaos Actual did with the last president. So let's move on to the other big one. We're going to talk about all these people who are coming into power now that have control directly over the military. And the next biggest one after the Commander-in-Chief and the Secretary of Defense, at least as far as we're concerned, is the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. This is a huge spot, a huge role to fill, especially right now, coming up on 20 years of the Global War on Terror. Hundreds of thousands of new veterans hitting the streets every day. And the VA, let's face it, doesn't have the best reputation of all the governmental agencies out there. So this is a big deal to put someone in there. And while I give the new Commander-in-Chief, President Biden, all the props in the world for his nomination of General Austin, I got to take some of those props away for his nomination for the Secretary of the VA. And that is, and I'm going to butcher this name, so I apologize in advance, Mr. Secretary, like you're ever going to listen to this anyway. Dennis McDonough. He is not a veteran. He's never served in the military, not even in the reserves or the National Guard for like a 2-year stint back in the day. He didn't go to a military college. He didn't, you know, serve in ROTC. His entire experience for this job is he is the definition of career politician. His jobs have always been serving an elected official. He's never even been an elected official. He's only served elected officials. So, he is perhaps most well known as serving as the White House Chief of Staff under President Obama from 2013 to 2017. Prior to that, he served as the Deputy National Security Advisor, and prior to that, as the Chief of Staff for the National Security Council. And then it just goes back from there. It's always these appointments or whatever. Nothing about him stands out, good or bad. So I will be honest about that. He may do a fine job. He's obviously a bureaucrat by trade. but I'm not that stoked on this guy. And this goes back to
being former chief of staff. I see him delegating a lot of authority.
Yeah, which may work well with the VA being as big and as cumbersome as it is. But yeah, what do you guys think about this guy? I mean, to me, it's yet another non-veteran being put in a position to affect veterans.
I see a lot of the veterans wanting to have other secretarial positions. Secretary of the Army, NAVSEC, whatever. And not really the VA side. And that's not because they don't want to help the vets, but they just have other interest in being in those other secretary positions. I just see that a lot more. I don't know if it's just me.
I'd rather have somebody that's at least been in the system, whether he's military or not, versus three people that had nothing to do with the military.
I'm not excusing his predecessors, but yeah. Stretch of the imagination.
And I'm not saying what I would rather. I'm just saying what I've seen happen.
Well, I mean, certainly, if your aspirations, and let's face it, if you're a secretary of anything after your service, your aspirations are political, because you don't get into those kinds of jobs unless you have some political savvy. Yeah, yeah. But there's more than just like 8 veterans out there, so I'm sure there are plenty of retired generals, or even down to retired colonels, that would love to take the position of Secretary of Veterans Affairs. I know for a damn fact there's plenty of former sergeant majors of the Army who would love to have that, and who better than a former enlisted guy to be in charge of a department like that. I'm not saying that anyone's done a better or worse job in this position. I'm just saying, can we try it? Can we try putting a veteran in charge of veterans?
Hey, Lou, can I've got something a little unscheduled here that I just remembered. Can I chime in a second?
Sure.
All right. This is kind of off topic. I know we're talking about, you know, different appointees and whatnot, but I wanted to get something out there because I had some people asking me, and this is kind of a little VSO thing. Veterans out there that are getting their compensation, your compensation is non-taxable. Therefore, a lot of you veterans have not filed tax returns because you're not required to do it. As we know, the former administration, the Trump administration, after the first set of checks were sent out and his cabinet, whatever, bitched that people that were dead were getting them, people were getting double checks, whatever, that they put a stipulation in there that you would have, they would base sending checks out on veterans filing taxes. I have found out that through my own going through stuff that the IRS ain't going to penalize you. You can go back and get a 1040 and you can fill that bitch out 00000 all the way down to the bottom, sign the bitch and send it in, and it will be a filed 2019 tax return so that you can get your $600. And then
does that retroactively go to the original, what was it, 1200 from last year as well?
Well, it's that's what I was trying to explain, is the 1200 from last year was sent out and there was no rules on it set forth by the previous administration. And like I said, dead people were getting checks, other people were getting double checks, whatever, so they threw that rule in there that they were going to only send checks out to people who had tax returns on file, that they could send it to your direct deposit or whatever else.
Gotcha. If someone who survives off their disability, for example, didn't do that in 2020 and never received their $1,200, would they be able to retroactively get that money as well?
Yes.
So there's potentially a pretty big payday for some vets out there.
Well, the thing about it is, you go to the IRS website. Fill out your information and file as a non-filer, and you'll get your check.
You can do that as well, but they told me that, like I went to go and search, and I put in all my information, who I was, social, blah, blah, blah. It told me it didn't even know who the hell I was.
Yeah.
And they told me through the IRS, because I hadn't filed, because I'm not required to.
Yeah. That
they, in fact, I mean, I filed taxes when I had my home up in Ohio, because of course I had homeowner tax and all that shit, property tax. But last year when I moved to Florida here, I mean, I live in a condo, a rental condo, and you know, I don't have to file taxes, so I didn't, and that's the reason why I didn't get that. And they had just said the easiest way to do it is go grab a 1040 and just go 00000 and sign the bitch and send it to them. They'll have a bank account on file. You put your routing number and everything there, and you will get your shit either through direct deposit, or they will send it to you as a paper check. It may take a little longer, but at least you will get it.
Yeah. Well, the way the post office has been going, you can expect those paper checks in like 2026.
Yeah.
My mother sent me a document from Apple Valley, which is just east of Mount Vernon. We're up in your neck of the woods, Lou. And it took 5 weeks to get here. I had a veteran's place in Clearwater, which is less than an hour north of me. They sent something out. It went all the way to Milwaukee to come to be here. It had a Milwaukee stamp on it. So, yeah, the postal thing is pretty
I need to fire the postmaster general.
Well, that would be the next person I would be replacing.
Yeah, it's certainly right, wrong, or indifferent. President Biden certainly has his work cut out for him.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Over this first year.
And I feel Biden's going to catch a lot of hell like Obama did when he took over for Bush, because a lot of the bailouts he had to do and stuff. I think Biden's going to take.
Like
a
I
lot
said,
of
I'm not.
Hit.
I'm not big on you know what's the word? Dissing.
No.
Previous commanders and chiefs, but when you bomb children, you tend to get a bad rep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I am done with my unscheduled interruption.
That's good information. That was definitely good information. And of course, as always, if anyone has any follow up questions to that, you can contact Warlock Burns via emailing infernallegion9@gmail.com, message our Facebook page at Infernal Legion, message our Twitter. No matter who responds, they'll make sure he gets the message, and they'll make sure that he links up with you and can help you through that process.
Absolutely, and I'm more than happy to do it. I've done it with many people, and they'll tell you I've helped them.
All right, so let's go on to... I'm going to bring this guy up. He doesn't have a huge influence on the military, but he is the new Secretary of Homeland Security, which, as all of us know, means that he's the one in charge of the Coast Guard. And we love to give the Coast Guard shit, but they are the only branch of service who's at war 24/7. So, but his name is Alejandro Nicolas Mayorkas, and I hope I didn't butcher that last name. Now, so I gave President Biden props for General Austin. I took some of those props away from McDonough, and I'm going to replace those props and give them back to President Biden for this pick, because honestly, this guy seems like he was custom fit for this job. He is a former United States attorney, former assistant United States attorney, former immigration and criminal defense attorney, and he was the director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. And to be honest, a lot of the problems that DHS has been having pretty much since W brought him into existence has been with the immigration question.
Yeah.
So he certainly seems like he will, like I said, he was custom made for this job. He's been a part of all kinds of actions that involved the Coast Guard in the past. Again, he's not a veteran, but the Coast Guard is one tiny little part of the Department of Homeland Security, so I don't really hold that department to the same standards that I would hold military departments. But he has been involved in a lot of their missions, such as relief in Haiti and drug interdictions and the Cuban immigrant quote-unquote crisis. Pretty much since he became an attorney. This guy seems like a good, solid pick, and I think that the Coast Guard will function quite well under his leadership. Do you guys have any thoughts on him?
I don't.
I'm not too familiar with the gentleman myself. I didn't really do my homework on him, I have to admit it, and I can get slapped around for it.
No, like I said, I don't blame you. I threw him in here just because of the Coast Guard, but again, that's a tiny fraction of what DHS does overall. And honestly, personally, we all have our own level of involvement in politics, but as veterans, the rest of DHS doesn't really concern us that much.
Well, actually, it does me. It does me. Because the intelligence communities are part of Department of Homeland Security.
That's true. They do a lot of work together. Yeah, that's very true.
So, to me, it has a little bit of who's this guy and where's his intel background.
That's a good point. You know? Although I will say to that question, which is a good question, I like having a lawyer in that position.
Yeah.
Especially a defense attorney.
Mm-hmm.
you know, if that makes sense. Because DHS, and we've, I think everyone with half a brain in their head said it after President Bush created the Department of Homeland Security, this is a bad idea. There's so much potential for abuse. Government overreach and government abuse, abuse of power. I will say on the back end, having previously worked for the Department of Homeland Security, it did streamline quite a few things, so I give them credit for that. But we've seen some pretty incredible abuses come out of the department as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
go on to your joke. You say that the Coast Guard is the only branch of service at war 24 hours a day. Well, Space Force is going to be there soon. You know, it wouldn't be a show if we wouldn't say anything about Space Force.
Yeah.
That is true. That is true.
The big news is China just got a rocket that just went into orbit around Mars.
Yep. They're supposed to have a lander land on it.
Well, and before the Chinese got there, the UAE got there.
Yeah.
You got Arabs on the moon now, too.
Yep.
Oh, I gotta bite my tongue on that one. This is a mostly PC podcast here.
I'm trying to make a joke, and I'm trying to throw the hook out there so you'll bite.
So, do they still pray five times a day on Mars?
I wonder.
You know the day. You know the day on Mars is how much longer? Like. 26 minutes longer or something?
Something like that.
How exactly does one face Mecca?
On a different... face wherever the Earth is at.
The sun, the Earth is on.
But that's one good thing we can get away with here, because it is a satanic podcast, so we can make fun of Muslims.
Fun of Muslims, Christians, you name it.
But you know, honestly, that brings up a good. I know, you know, we're joking and we're having a good time, but it does bring up a good point. And Dwayne, you know this because we've gone back and forth on this for years, and sometimes we're on the same side, sometimes we're on opposing sides. But with the advancements in space technology, both in the private sector and from countries we would consider at the very least not friendly, Space Force is looking every day like more and more of a good idea.
Yeah, I think it is. I do. We make jokes about it, but...
And they can expect that, by the way, because they are no better than the fucking Coast Guard.
Well, not only that, but if you sit there and think about it, you know, you have the Navy Marine Ball, you got the Army Ball, now you got Space Balls. Had to throw in a little Mel Brooks.
I got a little free advertisement for my buddy the drill sergeant. But go check out some of the Angry Cop stuff that I've posted. He just posted something recently about Space Force basic training. That was a fucking joke.
Yeah, Angry Cops is he's a cool guy.
He's an excellent.
He
guy.
Actually listens to the show, by the way. So shout out. Drill Sergeant, hi. Thanks for listening.
He just recently did something on the Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force. That one was a good one too. If you want to go check it out.
Now, and this might be a rumor, but I heard that he had a Super Bowl bet with the guy who runs Pop Smoke, and he lost the bet, and now he has to join the Air Force Reserves.
That'd be cute.
Well, that would mean you'd have to go back to basic training, because the Air Force ain't going to accept somebody from the Army. I think the Army is the only branch of the service that accepts people from other branches.
No, they all do, and they have a graduated, like a tiered system. So, for example, a Marine can join any other branch of service. A soldier can join any other branch of service except the Marine Corps. If they join the Marine Corps, they have to go back through Marine boot camp.
I believe you have to go back through Navy as well, Lou.
Yeah. No, if you're a Marine,
There's a three-week shortened class.
Yeah.
It's not even a boot camp. It's just 3 weeks of learning the basics of the new branch that you're in. You're not having drill sergeants shark attack you the moment you get off the bus or anything of that nature. It's basically like reclassing in the Army. Although, if you reclass infantry in the Army, you do get the shark attack, so...
Yeah.
Figure that out. Yeah, so it's an interesting time out there. And speaking of which, speaking of Space Force, something really pissed me off the other day.
When doesn't something piss you off, Lou? Let's hear it.
So... As we said on here, Space Force is going to get it. You know what I mean? They're the youngest branch. They've got some. They have a crazy story about how they got started. So they're probably not going to live that down for several decades. And never mind the whole connection with the Netflix show, which we've talked about on other podcasts. There's a lot of shit to give them. But the fact of the matter is, they are a branch of the military now. They are, by proxy, our brothers and sisters in arms. And the other, I think it was about a month ago, they posted on their Twitter feed that they had picked a nickname for their service members. So, you know, like in the Army, everyone's a soldier. In the Navy, everyone's a sailor or seaman?
It's a seaman or an airman if you're an Airedale.
Gotcha. Marine Corps, it's Marine, you know, so on and so forth.
Right.
They chose the name. They chose the name Guardian for their guys. Now, that's hilarious to me, and I want to make fun of them for that. But if you pop open that Twitter feed, it was a bunch of do-nothing fucking civilians making fun of them choosing that name. And I just have to say, I mean, you can say whatever you want to, and you can do whatever you want to. You know, I've said in the past, I am a free speech extremist. But philosophically speaking, fuck off, you dirty civvies. They're our bitches, not yours. I will make fun of the Coast Guard. I will make fun of the Air Force. Ivans knows full well I'll make fun of the Navy all fucking day long.
Oh, yeah.
But if some dirty fucking civvy comes up and does that shit, I'll knock him out. I'll be right there with Jeff in the bar room hall.
Hell yeah.
They are the Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh my god, I just saw raccoon. They got a tree.
They got a tree.
And honestly, if I was advising the Space Force as like a PR guy or something, I would say lean into it.
Yeah.
Lean into every single one of these. Like, plant a tree at your headquarters for group. Name your first satellite the Enterprise. Whatever it is that you have to do, you know, like, lean into it. All right, gents. Well, we've talked about the big hitters, but there's still some of the smaller hitters to talk about. So I'll tell you what. We're going to take a quick break for some messages from this wonderful station.
In 1966, Anton LaVey created the Church of Satan, marking the beginning of the Age of Fire and Year One Anno Satanas. In 1969, he published The Satanic Bible, codifying Satanism as a religion, the first time it's been done in human history.
In the name of Satan, ruler of the earth, king of hell, come forth from the pit, bestow the blessings of hell upon us. For we are your children, and we invoke thee this night.
In 2001, I was appointed High Priest of the Church of Satan. In 2007, I published the Satanic Scriptures, further defining and expanding on Satanic philosophy and greater magic ritual.
Hail Satan, full of might!
Our allegiance is with thee!
Cursed are they!
For the past 50 years, the Church of Satan has stood as the sole organization to define and defend Satanism as a religion. And though pretenders to the infernal throne have come and gone, we have stood the test of time and will into the future. Visit churchofsatan.com for more information and read the Satanic Bible and the Satanic Scriptures. Knowledge is the solution for ignorance. Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
This is Reverend Gene, the host of Vox Satane, exclusively on Radio Free Satan. Join me every week as we indulge in the classical side of music spanning the past 1,000 years. Vox Satane has already featured over 700 composers covering medieval, baroque, classical, romantic, and contemporary music, including chant, choral, opera, keyboard, and orchestral music, with composers ranging from Gluck to Gilmour, Bach to Bellavance, Talis to Taverner, and Paganini to Pärt. Get your weekly recommended dose of classical music right here on Vox Satane, only on Radio Free Satan, with me, Reverend Gene. Hail Satan!
I used to flip through one television station after another, disgusted by what was supposed to pass for comedy. Seeing all of those terrible, predictable comedians made me sad, and it made me shake in my seat. I thought it was the early signs of restless leg syndrome combined with clinical depression. So I went to see my doctor. It turned out that I just needed to listen to better comedy. That's when my doctor recommended The Devil's Mischief on Radio Free Satan.
The Devil's Mischief is a one-hour dosage of comedy and novelty that's made for you, not for the masses. After a decade of biased research, The Devil's Mischief has been clinically proven to be effective at inducing laughter and whimsical feelings in many listeners.
I can finally laugh again.
You don't need a prescription to listen to The Devil's Mischief. You don't even need to visit a pharmacy. That's because The Devil's Mischief is not a pill. It's not a syrup. It's not a spray, a cream, or even a suppository. It's a podcast.
All I need is a connection to the internet.
To learn all you need to know to listen to The Devil's Mischief, visit the official website, devilsmischief.com.
Whether you like to listen to podcasts in your web browser, download an episode directly, or subscribe to podcasts with iTunes, The Devil's Mischief can help.
Side effects may include side splitting, gut busting, knee slaps, and slapstick. Some listeners have reported being in stitches, with gags, or finding it to be a riot. Do not listen to The Devil's Mischief while drinking a beverage. Ask your doctor if The Devil's Mischief is right for you.
Or don't. Why should you have to pay that stupid copay for a doctor's visit?
Listen to The Devil's Mischief on RadioFreeSatan.com.
Come with me, Warlock Jeff Ivins, for a time trip back to the 1980s on the Metro. I play synth pop and other hits from the decades of indulgence, only on RadioFreeSatan.com.
Attention iTunes users, if you like this show and other programs from Radio Free Satan, then please take a moment to look us up on iTunes to rate and comment on the program. You can also do the same on Stitcher.com. Look up this program on Stitcher.com, rate it, and give us a review. And that's if you like the show, of course, you know, that you want to give it 5 stars and a good review, not, you know, give it 1 star and say a bunch of mean things. But hey, if you want to do that, then I'm sure there are a bunch of Christian podcasts on iTunes that you could do that on. Anyway, thank you for your support of RadioFreeSatan.com. And now back to the program.
Welcome back to the official Infernal Legion podcast, Sinister Scuttlebutt episode for the month of February 2021. And we're gonna keep diving into these secretaries and whatnot. Now, the undersecretaries for defense usually get grouped by broad branch. So we have the Secretary of the Army, the Secretary of the Navy, and the Secretary of the Air Force. The Secretary of the Army is obviously responsible for the Army. The Secretary of Navy is responsible for the Navy and the Marine Corps, and the Secretary of the Air Force is responsible for the Air Force and the Space Force.
The Sec Guardian.
The Sec Guard. I find really interesting right now because the way that they get appointed is they are nominated by the Secretary of Defense. And General Austin has stated that right now we have three acting secretaries. over each of these things. All of them were appointed by the prior Secretary of Defense, and all of them are Republicans. But General Austin has said that he has no plans at this time to nominate anyone new for the position. So, with that being said, I figured we should talk about these three guys and get to know who they are. I mean, most of them have been in the job less than 2 years. Anyway, so I find it encouraging that there is a bipartisan approach to governing the military right now.
Yeah. Or rather, the generals not making it partisan at all.
Right, which is...
They're trying.
So first up is the Secretary of the Army, currently acting Secretary of the Army. His name is John Whitley. He is a veteran. He served from 1988 to 1992. He is Ranger qualified and was a non-commissioned officer. Since then, he's gone on to work as a he worked as an office staffer for John Kyle, a former senator from Arizona. He was a senior fellow at the Institute for Defense Analysis in Virginia, and he currently still serves as an adjunct professor at the Trachtenberg School of Public Policy and Public Administration at George Washington University.
Hey, that's 10 times real fast. Trachtenberg.
Now, to be honest, his only thing so far that he's done of note since being the and is in 2018 he became the acting Secretary of the Army was he was responsible for the oversight of the 25,000 National Guardsmen who were stationed in Washington, D.C. Now, if you guys will remember, there was a big brouhaha about Guardsmen being moved from the floor of the Capitol to a parking garage.
Yes,
it's a word. It's a word.
Look it up if you got a dictionary.
That was a big. It was seen by a lot of people as a big fuck you to the National Guard. To be quite honest, though, as a former soldier myself, a parking garage would be way preferable to the floor of the Capitol building. Because it's less eyes on you that matter, you know? And the last thing I want is...
to the jungles of Fort Sill.
I certainly don't want some freshman representative, not naming any names, to walk by and see me scratching my balls after a day of duty. But that was, if anyone's looking to point a finger, you can point it at the Secretary of the Army, John Whitley, a Republican. Just throwing that out there. He has been confirmed by President Biden to remain in his office as of right now. And as I said, General Austin has not announced anyone that he wants to replace him with. So it looks like he's going to be there for a while as well. You guys have any thoughts on former Sergeant John E. Whitley?
Not off the top of my head.
As I said, you know, going through it, you know, you mentioned that the three that are there are Republican, and I guess I'm just taking my hat off to General Austin for making it nonpartisan. You said bipartisan, I said nonpartisan. They're not bringing parties into it at all. If you're doing the job and can do the job, fucking keep doing it.
Yep.
Right. The next up, hold on, trying to get my technology to work with me here. There we go.
You forgot to feed the mouse?
No, the hamster.
Mouse, hamster.
Right.
The drone.
Now, this one I know will make... Jeff Ivins just, you know, have the warm and fuzzies deep in his heart.
Uh-oh.
The current acting Secretary of the Navy is Thomas W. Hofmann. Thomas Harker does have experience. He formerly served in the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the United States Department of Defense, not in a secretarial position, but actually, you know, worked in those jobs. He was designated in June of last year as the United States Undersecretary of Defense Comptroller, and then was named to the SECNAV. He's also a veteran, having served for, I believe, 5 years. No, I'm sorry. 20 years in the United States Coast Guard.
He was at war every day.
Oh, he's a wannabe Navy guy. One of these days, they're going to get a boat big enough to actually go further than 12 miles out.
He's been in this position, like I said, since late last year, so only a few months in the position. Nothing of real note yet out of him. He seems to be relatively well fit for the job, though I'm sure Jeff has a few thoughts about a coastie being in charge of the Navy and Marine Corps.
Yeah.
a few caveats.
Just a few. And I'm not going to get into them.
As he lowers his head, shaking it, going, nah. See, the lovely thing about technology, people, is we see each other when we're doing this show, and we laugh at each other and give each other the bird.
A lot of times when you hear us just laughing for no reason, it's because we're seeing each other do something.
Yeah,
stupid.
we try to trip each other up. You know, you'll even notice it in the recording.
So, Jeff, what are your thoughts about a coastie being in charge of the movie?
Like I said, basically a puddle jumper in charge of the Blackwater or the Blue Water Navy is...
Blackwater?
Blackwater? Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, shit.
He would have made so much more money if he worked for Blackwater instead of...
Yeah, I know. But it's just... The idea that you got somebody that's Coast Guard that doesn't know everything that the Navy's capable of, you know.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
never mind the Marine Corps, how they...
Oh, hell no. But like I said, it just boggles my mind having somebody that is... Coast Guard in charge of the Navy. It's just mind-boggling. So Department of Transportation member in charge of the Department of Defense.
I'm sorry.
I was just saying, Department of the Navy being in charge or being run by somebody that was working for the Department of Transportation. Because the Coast Guard is basically
because he was retired before the DHS became a thing.
So he worked for the Department of Transportation.
I'm just curious, 20 years in the Coast Guard, now the SECNAV, does he have any experience with crayons?
No, probably not. Ask him what his favorite color is, and he'll probably say, oh, I don't know.
Well, he was an officer in the Coast Guard, so he'd probably be pretty lost on the Marine Corps land nav courses.
Oh, yeah, he would. He'd be working on second lieutenant. Or first lieutenant.
And that brings us finally to the Secretary of the Air Force. He's been in this job even less time, though he's been serving as the Undersecretary of the Air Force since early 2019. He's been the acting Secretary of the Air Force since October of 2019. There was a lot of changes in these positions over the last 4 years. So back.
Let me guess, he was a general in the Civil Air Patrol.
No, his story's even better. We'll get to that in a minute. His name is John P. Roth. He has worked also as the Undersecretary of Defense Comptroller from January 2017 to June 2017. He has a bachelor's degree from the University of Virginia, a master's degree from George Washington University, and zero military experience.
Woohoo!
In fact, considering the Air Force's mission, you can even take the planes away. Just take air warfare away. Talk about cyber warfare and space warfare and things of those nature. He has no experience in any, even in computer science, much less anything else related to those things.
Airport
Mark. Another bean counter.
Right. And I would say out of the three undersecretaries there, for he probably has the hardest job right now because, as we were discussing before the break, Space Force is relatively brand new, and he's going to be the civilian ultimately responsible for making sure it's stood up and fully staffed and ready to go. So I'm just going to turn that over to you guys. Thoughts?
I've got none. I said my piece. He's a bean counter.
And I don't want the ball, so I'm passing it back.
But, you know, I have to. I did give high praise to General Austin. He doesn't seem to have any plans to replace the Secretary of the Air Force just yet.
Well, if it ain't so, broke, don't try to fix it.
Right.
And until he breaks it.
The Air Force is more more of a civilian branch of service.
Anyway. Yeah, it is. Pamper babies. You go to boot camp, they give you a pack of Pampers pull-ups for boot camp.
Because you're a big kid now.
Yeah.
So that about sums it up. That's what the current leadership for the military, for Veterans Affairs, and for Department of Homeland Security looks like. So I want to kind of, now that we have that overall snapshot, let's take a look at it. What do we think? Are we, I mean, we're always going to be a little hesitant to be like, oh, these are great calls, because we've been screwed before numerous times by Uncle Sam. But is the picture at least pretty?
I'm right optimistic. Can be hopeful? I'm optimistic.
I'm reserving my comment.
You're not allowed to do that right now.
But I'm going to.
We're trying to get the comment there and then come back later and say, okay, this is what we said before. Now what do we think?
I think it's a tumultuous time period right now. Since coming into office, President Biden has made some good moves overseas with the current wars that are going on. Yeah. Like, for example, halting the bombing in Yemen and withdrawing support for some groups there. At the same time, everything that leaves the Kurds high and dry kind of pisses me off deep down inside because I have a lot of Kurdish friends. But I understand it. I'm not a hawk. I'm very much a pull everybody out, let the world fry if it's going to.
Yeah.
Which is something, like I said at the very beginning of this, when we talked about the new commander in chief, is something I'm going to reserve my judgment on for that. I am hopeful that that this will work out well because of since the time that he's been vice president to now, what he's gone through with his children and their military service. I'm hoping that he has a different perspective on the military and won't just throw us into these endless wars, which, by the way, still haven't ended.
More respect for war.
Yeah, more respect for the warrior.
Yeah,
hopefully.
So we'll see how it goes. We'll do a check back in, I think, after obviously any big news items we'll bring up during our Sinister Scuttlebutt episodes. But I think we'll revisit this in a year and see how he did in his first year with the military and the VA and all of these gentlemen. I'm guessing that a couple of them probably won't be there.
Probably not. You know,
and you know, if any of them get replaced, I mean, you'll hear about it here. So
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. I guess I'll close this out. I wanted to talk, and I mentioned this before we started recording. Like I said, before we hit that button, it seems to have died down a little bit. But I have to say I was a little disappointed after what happened on January 6th at the Capitol building on how – and this is just my perception, and you gentlemen are always free to agree or disagree with me on this. It seemed to me like there was a narrative that was specifically designed to sow discord amongst veterans and in the greater, for lack of a better term, veteran community. Obviously, veterans were on both sides of the incident at the Capitol. Veterans on both sides died in the incident at the Capitol. Obviously, I'm not here to say I support what happened on January 6th. I think it was fucking stupid. the veterans who participated in it on the side of the people who were breaking in should probably go back and take the ASVAB again just to see where their intelligence lies. At the end of the day, we've all served. And we've all served honorably. And we're already used as a voting block every 4 years. Where our names are only brought up when the government needs to secure its support for something. And very rarely does anything get fixed that works in our favor. And we accepted that. We accepted that when we enlisted. We accepted that when we got out. And we knew that that's what it was going to be like. The last thing that we need is to be at each other's throats, especially when we're still losing 22 of us a day. That's all I have to say about that. What do you guys think?
I will leave it right where you put it, because that's about... Otherwise, I'm going to get into a half-hour-long...
yeah.
You know, Dwayne...
It's a heavy topic. We could talk in circles about
it. We could have an entire show about it.
Yeah. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to keep, like I said about the Secretary of the Air Force. I'm going to hold my peace.
Air Force? We're talking about the Navy, who was a Coast Guard guy.
I know, but I was talking about the Air Force.
Hold his peace about that.
Yeah.
Hey guys, say hi to Alyssa. Dwayne, point that fucking thing away from me.
Well, and with that, I think that's a good place to close it out for this hashtag Sinister Scuttlebutt edition of the official Infernal Legion podcast. It's good to be back. Again, apologies that we were gone for so long, but we are back in the flow of things, and I believe next week or the week after, we will have our Wicked Warrior of the Month on. I have to confirm all the dates and everything. But we will be back with that. And we're back on the flow of things. Look for us in May. We're going to repeat what we did a couple of years ago with the Rain in Hell Memorial Day celebration. More information about that will follow. But thank you all very much for listening. Warlock Burns, Warlock Ivins, thank you guys so much for being here with me. And until next time.
Veteran Suicide Hotline. Phone number is 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-TALK. And as soon as you dial that, you press number 1. Also, you can text to 838-255 for more information. But it is just as effective as chat. Support is free, confidential, and available 24/7. It is available to all servicemen and women, active and inactive, guard or reserve, and available to veterans, family members as well.